Hey guys, I'm Valerie.
And I'm Jasmine, and this is Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
Thank you guys for continuing to listen. Today, we are going to talk about a case that takes place in Wixkaluken, which is a wealthy suburb of Mexico City. I do want to preface this whole thing with a lot of articles that I read were translated from Spanish to English. And that being said, it's possible that a couple of details were slightly misunderstood. There will be no major details that are wrong, but, you know, I just want to put that disclaimer out here before I start and somebody yells at me. We are going to talk today about Paulette Guevara Ferra. The sources for this are the U.S. Sun News, BBC News, JusticeInMexico.org, LA Times, Refinery21, Debate.com, FMCC Criminology and Criminalistics, El Nuevo Herald, CBS News, Zocala News Mexico, and Vanguardia.
Paulette Guevara Ferra was born on July 20, 2005, to Mauricio Guevara and Lizette Ferra. She had a sister, also named Lizette, who was 3 years her senior.
Paulette was born after 25 weeks, which is very premature for birth.
That's really, really, like, so that would be, what, 5 months? No, 6 months?
Don't make me do math, I don't know. Yeah,
it's like six months.
Instead of nine.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so she was less than 2 pounds and only about 14 inches or 35 centimeters long. So doctors didn't think she was going to survive because of how, you know, prematurely she was born, but she defeated all those odds. Because of this, though, she did have some developmental disabilities. Paulette had a language disorder that made it hard for her to form sentences, and she had physical impairments. So she couldn't walk on her own, but she had done time, like, doing therapy with horses, which helped her learn how to walk with help. So Lizette was from a wealthy family, and she was an attorney. And Mauricio built himself up and did real estate with his brothers. The couple married in 2001, and together they afforded to live in a very upscale apartment complex and had the help of two live-in nannies, sisters Erica and Martha Casimiro, who worked for them since young Lizette was born. At the time of our story, Paulette was 4 years old, Lizette was 34 years old, Mauricio was 38 years old, and Paulette's sister Lizette was 7 years old. They also had two dogs.
On Sunday, March 21st, 2010, Lizette arrived home before Mauricio and her two daughters. They had gone on a 3-day trip together. Lizette did not join the family and instead went on a trip with her friend Amanda to Los Cabos. Now, there are reports and rumors that I read that Lizette was having an affair and was actually in Cabo with her lover. Though that's not confirmed, I'm just putting that out there to say that Lizette and Mauricio were having marital problems. Either way, we do know that she was on a separate trip from her family. So Lizette waited for the family to arrive home that night so that she could say goodnight to the girls after Erica tucked them in, like she always does. And she does hotel style, like blankets and sheets tucked into the bed, which is actually how David makes our bed.
Really? That's awesome.
The next morning at 8 a.m., Erica went into Paulette's room to wake her up for kindergarten. But Paulette wasn't in her room. Her bed wasn't very messed up, so Erica was like, okay, well, maybe one of the parents got her out of bed. So she went to the main area of the house and found Mauricio and was like, hey, have you seen Paulette? And he hadn't, so he was like, okay, we'll go check with Lizette. Well, Lizette hadn't seen her either. Now, remember, Paulette can't walk on her own. So Erica's a little panicked, and her and Martha begin checking every area of the house. They're looking under the bed, in the closets, in the other bedrooms. And they proceed to go outside and look in the halls and in the complex, just in case. But there was no sign of Paulette. When they returned back inside the apartment, Lizette was sitting down, drinking her coffee and smoking a cigarette. And Mauricio was half-assed looking in a closet. And both nannies thought it was kind of odd that neither of the parents seemed too worried. Mauricio called his sister, and she called law enforcement to officially report Paulette missing. Attorney General Alberto Bazbaz got involved immediately, which actually caused controversy because he did nothing for other missing children, but he made sure all resources were used for Paulette, who was from an affluent family.
Paulette's face was plastered on billboards, missing person flyers, and the news spread like wildfire, as it should.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just feel like, with that being said, that should be done for all children, not just depending on their
status,
their wealth. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I totally agree. So not only was Paulette only 4 years old, her disability would make it even harder for her to survive without her medication and without her parents. So they were, you know, concerned because of that too. So police gathered surveillance from the complex, but there was no evidence of Paulette being taken or leaving on her own accord on camera. None of the neighbors saw or heard anything, including the, like, family's dogs barking. Nobody heard barking, nothing. There were no signs of forced entry or theft inside of the apartment. The apartment was located on the second floor, and so the only way into Paulette's bedroom was the door that connected to the hallway or her second-story window, which hadn't been tampered with. So Lizette went on national TV asking, you know, an abductor to please let Paulette go. She said they wouldn't press charges or anything, just please let her go. And she wasn't crying, which people always point out, but I don't think it matters, and I will always defend the concept that you don't know how somebody will act in grief or in panic. But people have also alleged that because of this, Lizette has a personality disorder and has been described as cold. So I just want to remind you in that instance that she's an attorney. And I think being able to not show emotion in situations like this and use rationale instead is a skill and not necessarily a sign of deceit, especially considering her line of work.
Right. I can get behind that for sure. Not everybody's going to, you know, some people choose not to also, like, show their emotions in front of people who they do not know. Like, some people feel like that is, makes you weak in a way.
Right.
And, like, especially in, like, a moment like this where you're trying to be strong for your child and show your child in case your child can see it, or whoever your loved one is, like, in case they do get a chance to see you, they could see that you're strong, and then that might help them be strong.
Right. That's a very good possibility, too. And, you know, people are also going to argue that, you know, she's an attorney, she's a good liar, or she, you know, whatever. And people, no matter how you react, if you don't cry, if you cry, they're going to say you're acting wrong. It's never going to please everybody. So I'm just asking, you know, I'm just asking for everybody to look at the case at face value and not base it on her TV appearance.
So right now, the fact that, you know, they were, like, not really, like, helping search the way they should have been as worried parents, we can judge them on that.
Yes, you can judge them on that, absolutely. And I beg you to, actually, because that's really weird. So, Lizette also did an interview on TV in Paulette's bedroom. On the bed in the interview was a pair of Paulette's pajamas, and she showed pictures Paulette had drawn at school. Attorney General Alberto Bazbaz was suspicious of Lizette. He didn't have any evidence to arrest her on, but he immediately thought that she was responsible. As interviews were conducted with Lizette, Mauricio, Erica, and Martha, they noted a handful of inconsistencies. One of the nannies suggested that the parents were having financial troubles and perhaps killed Paulette to not need to continue to pay for her medical care. Now, they were having marital troubles, but it was disproven that the couple was having financial troubles, because they were not. Which, you know, led to further suspicion of Lizette for investigators because of her alleged affair. Now, a very serious issue, though, came into play very quickly. Over 100 people had been in Paulette's room to check it out, including cadaver dogs. Now, I understand that some people had to come in the room, but 100?
That's a lot of fucking people to be in that room.
To tamper with a potential crime scene.
Right. Exactly. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And worse yet, Lizette's friend Amanda, the one that she allegedly went to Cabo with, was allowed to sleep in Paulette's room since they didn't secure it.
I don't like that. And especially as a parent, why the fuck would you let anybody be in your kid's room that is missing?
That is just a weird thing in general. Why would you want to sleep in her bed? Like, it's not like if her mom slept in her bed, I would understand that.
Right. But, like, you, like, as you're just your mom's friend, like, that's weird.
Right. So she was sleeping in Paulette's bed for a couple days, and then each day it was made by one of the nannies. Now, this is the last known place that Paulette was. So why on earth was anybody allowed to even touch it. Like,
exactly.
Which will sleep on it. It's unclear how, and it might be because of a language barrier for me, but police were able to obtain a recording of Lizette talking to her eldest daughter, and she told her not to say anything about Paulette's disappearance. When little Lizette asked her mom why, Lizette responded with, quote, "They will blame us for stealing her, or that you took her away to be stolen."
What?
Lizette insisted that this recording was edited and taken out of context to make it seem like she was telling her daughter to conceal information. But to the public, it's obviously a bad look. And again, I'm not sure exactly how this recording came about. My thought is that the conversation probably had when there was police in the house recording other things, and that was caught on there. But again, that's a speculation. That being said, with this recording and with the inconsistent stories between the parents and the nannies, police took all four of them into custody on March 29th. Alinzer Castillo Garcia, who was a police officer and escort for Deputy Prosecutor Alfred Castillo, came out of Paulette's bedroom with the bedsheet in his hand. And he noted that, like, the mattress moved a little bit, which, again, stop messing with the last place that you knew Paulette was. And he was questioned about taking the sheet, but said that Castillo wanted to give it to the dogs to smell instead of giving it to forensic experts to analyze blood stains found on it.
But, like, I feel like there's a better way to assist with all of that other than you fucking snatching up that bedding and just walking around with it.
Right, right. Just so holding it in your hand. Yeah, let me just take this and I'm gonna walk away. I guess I'm not gonna put it in a bag. I'm not gonna. It's right. Just ridiculous. Or bring the dogs here. Gee.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, that's just stupid. Stupid. I know. Stupid. It's stupid.
So, on the ninth day of the investigation, March 31st, 2010, a putrid smell started coming from the bedroom. So police started tearing it apart, and they ripped the mattress from the bed, and that's when they discovered Paulette. She was wrapped in a blanket, wedged at the foot of her own bed, between the mattress and the frame. You know how, like, you have that frame at the end of, well, not everybody, but, like, on if you have a bed frame that has, like, little posts at the end, there's, like, a, it kind of comes out to, like, just yes. above where the mattress is. Well, her bed was just a pinch too small for that, and so there was a space where she could wedge between the foot of the bed and the mattress.
I now remember hearing about this case, or seeing something about it online. I know where I stand with this one. There was no accident. She was murdered.
Hang on to that for 1 second. Hang on to that. There are pictures of this online, and if you want to see it, it's very easy to find on Google. I'm not going to post that because I don't want to expose anybody to that if they don't want to see that. But Paulette is facing on her side towards the mattress, and she's wedged in perfectly. So before we move forward and we talk about what the fuck happened, I want to point out a couple things that I want you to keep in mind before we talk about it. Number one, Garcia, the person who removed the sheet from the bed, noted that the mattress moved. So to me, that kind of indicates that Paulette hadn't been wedged in that space the entire time. That doesn't make any sense to me. Number two.
Yes.
Amanda had literally been sleeping in the bed and didn't notice Paulette or the blood on the sheets or anything. Number three. Erica and Martha made the kids' beds hotel style, with the sheets and the blankets tucked in at the bottom and the sides. And they even reproduced how they do this in a video for police that's available on YouTube. I did watch it. And they were literally in the spot where Paulette was found. How would they have not noticed her? They're literally tucking the blanket in.
Yeah, none of that makes sense.
I still got more. You hold on 1 second. God.
Oh, God.
So cadaver dogs didn't pick up the smell of Paulette. Police have said that the sheet concealed the smell, but for 9 days? With dogs trained to smell through large surfaces? Like, cadaver dogs can smell through car trunks. Like, pretty right. sure they can smell through a sheet, but okay. Also, the sheets had been on the bed and intact before being removed by Garcia. But most damning, in my opinion, is that Paulette was found wearing the pajamas that had been on the bed in the interview that Lizette did on national TV.
Oh, shit.
Lizette said that her eldest daughter had a matching pair, which is definitely a possibility. But the problem with that is, number one, why would you put a pair of your other daughter's pajamas there? That's weird.
Right.
But also, they couldn't recover them because Lizette said that she discarded them. Why the fuck would you just randomly throw out a pair of pajamas? That doesn't make sense. That's a straight up lie.
It's like you're doing everything in your power to be suspicious.
Right.
Because you're doing a terrible job, like, trying not to be. Like, I can't. The stupidity, the audacity, it's all a no for me.
I can just imagine the person that realized that those were the same pajamas.
Like, right.
What was going through their head. I mean, because that to me is the very most damning of the evidence. So, this seemed wildly suspicious to pretty much everybody. But the autopsy came back with a surprising result. Paulette's death was ruled an accident. According to the autopsy, Paulette died due to, quote, asphyxiation that obstructed the respiratory airways and compressed the abdominal thorax. So, what they think happened is that Paulette rolled over and fell into the gap between her mattress and footboard and suffocated to death. Now, she slept with an orthopedic cloth over her mouth to help her keep it closed as part of her medical condition, which is likely a contributor once she had been wedged into that spot. The autopsy also stated that Paulette's body had not been manipulated after her death and therefore was in that spot the entire time she was missing.
I'm going to say that's very, very, it's a great job trying to persuade me to go to that side, but no.
It's just so weird to me because the police were 100% suspicious of Lizette. So, I mean, it clearly they had no influence on this autopsy. Like, this was a legitimate autopsy. You know what I mean? It was nothing that was skewed by police belief.
I mean, okay. So, let's remember, this is Mexico we're talking about. Anybody can be bought, whether it's the police or not. Like, I mean...
Well, especially, we talked about earlier how people were upset that, you know, oh, we're paying attention to this wealthy little kid, but we're not paying attention.
Right.
But at the same time, if you wanted to argue that and be like, well, we're going to do this because it's this wealthy family, wouldn't you want the mother to be in jail?
That is true. However, I just, the problem for me, because I know when I seen this, the problem for me is, logically, I feel like there is no way that that child was wedged in between that part of her bed and her mattress, and nobody thought to look there.
Well,
And
people like, people stood right there.
Exactly. People slept there. People stood there.
She's not 2 pounds.
People changed the sheets on everything.
She's a 4-year-old kid. Like
there's no way. Like, I feel like you probably looked underneath the bed. You had to have, like, they took sheets off. Like, it's just, there's no way she was there the whole time. Like, I get it. Like, obviously, science is great. But that's why I bring up the fact that anybody can be bought, especially if they were a wealthy family. I just feel like they were able to get that kind of, like, for the, like, in their side, basically. I don't see that logically. I don't see that being truthful.
I don't either, especially because the nannies have no reason to conceal her death. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, them
tucking
in the blankets the way that they do. And, you know, Lizette's friend. And if they were the ones that were involved in it, which I don't even a little bit believe, well, then Amanda was sleeping in the bed. Then she would have noticed. You know what I mean? Like, just
right.
It doesn't make any sense. And the fact that over 100 people had been in and out of that room and had analyzed the room. And also, when the nannies went in there, when Erica was the first one in there looking for Paulette that morning, she noted there's, like, the bed looked normal. Like, it didn't, there were no, like, bumps in the bed. There was no indication that Paulette wrapped herself into part of a sheet and rolled all the way underneath her blanket and then into where the footboard of the bed is. Because that's the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is just ridiculous. Like,
but it was ruled an accident. And there was no specific time of death ever made public.
See? That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. So, you know, I watch a lot of movies. There is this Denzel Washington movie called Man on Fire. Don't know if you've seen it.
No.
But basically it's like this wealthy family of Mexico City. They hire a bodyguard for their daughter because they're wealthy. And Denzel Washington is the bodyguard. And basically the little girl gets kidnapped. And, you know, Denzel's trying to find her. Everybody's trying to find her. And lo and behold, her dad set up the entire thing. So basically what he did was he got in contact with these people to kidnap his daughter. And then he would give them X amount of money for a ransom. But, like, this would also drive his political, like, status, basically, so he could get elected. And it all went kind of wrong. I mean, in the movie, she was alive or whatever. But still, it's like that whole thing, like the fact that they were wealthy and everything, like they could have, like she could have set this up herself, the mob, to make it look a certain way. Like, I could get down with that idea, too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see where you're coming from. And actually, that movie sounds really good. That sounds like something I would actually watch.
It's a very... Denzel Washington, that's with my husband. But anyways,
yeah. Even though you ruined it for me. No, I'm kidding. What's really interesting about that I actually wasn't even necessarily going to bring up, is that Officer Garcia, who went and yanked the sheet from the bed, right? He, years later, was accused of kidnapping. So... it's kind of curious because I'm like, wait a minute. I hadn't really considered to this point, like, maybe he had already kidnapped Paulette. But then again, that's a whole different spiral because then, I mean, how? That just doesn't make sense either.
Well, in the movie, the cops is, like, the lieutenant or somebody is actually involved in all of it,
too. You mean, like, it's possible that, like, Lizette was like, oh, hey, I'll pay you. Come... But here's the thing. What's the motive for Lizette? Why does she want her daughter dead? Or do you think it was an accident? See, this is... People have compared this. People have called this the Mexican JonBenet Ramsey. Because there's so many angles that you can go to, but everybody thinks that the family's involved.
Yeah, that's true. I do believe the family is involved. I think it's really weird how the dad was acting and how the mom were acting, obviously, throughout the whole thing. Just, like, not really reacting. But, like, at the same time, like we said at the beginning, you can't judge anybody right. And everybody based off their reactions. I feel like, you know, maybe they were tired of having to do everything for her, and maybe they felt like she was going to have a better life.
I mean, you know, she wasn't here. And you know what's funny about that too is after all of this, Mauricio actually implicated Lizette. He said, quote, "The only thing I can say is that for me, it wasn't an accident, but I can only speak for myself." He blamed Lizette. And Lizette said she didn't know why he would think that. And she said about it, quote, "They have played a lot with our minds. Maybe he didn't have enough trust in me because I have never doubted him." Which they ended up splitting up. I mean, they were having troubles anyways. And Lizette actually was granted custody of their eldest daughter. Because, again, this was ruled an accident. So there was no homicide investigation after that. And... it's just so frustrating because, especially with the stupid bed sheet, if that bed sheet hadn't been taken from there, it's possible that forensic evidence from that stain or from any fluid on there could have been more of an indication of whether or not Paulette really had been there the entire time.
Right, exactly.
I know. And of course, the autopsy has no opinion on this, like the blood stain on the sheet, except for to say it's probably from decomposition. And her toxicology report came back completely clean. She hadn't been drugged, she didn't have any alcohol in her system, she hadn't been sexually assaulted, there were no signs of physical assault, and she had consumed food 5 hours before her death.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel bad for her in this situation just because it wasn't her fault that she was born early. It wasn't her fault that, she had all these issues. Her family could not really deal with her the way that she needed to be dealt with. Like, not dealt with, there's a better way to say it. Like, they just couldn't take on the added responsibility of a child with needs, basically.
But they had live-in nannies.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I don't.
I don't know. I don't know. It just, I don't understand the motive. I really just don't, because they had somebody else to take care of them. They really had nothing they had to do for them that, that Erica and Martha couldn't do. And so I just don't get it. I don't fucking understand why.
Yeah, I don't.
I like the idea of thinking that it was an accident because it's just so awful. Because
Right.
why? She is just a 4-year-old.
You do it to your own flesh and blood. And like you said, a 4-year-old who still like has no idea how to control their tempers and everything. Like, they're still learning. Like, I don't know what to say other
I know.
than I
There's
believe.
nothing. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna, other than the fact that I believe the family was directly involved. So that's it.
I believe that the family was directly involved also, and it just sucks. There's nothing that a child can do that makes them deserve this. There's nothing anybody can do that makes them deserve this. But I don't believe that it's an accident. And if somebody does believe it's an accident, I would love to hear your side of it because I have tried sorting through that possibility in my head and I just can't get there with how, unless all of these people are lying, but like about having, maybe they really didn't tuck in the bed and stuff like that. But when I look at the pictures that I post on Instagram of this bed, there is no physical way you wouldn't see it. I just don't buy it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, on May 26th of that year, Alberto Bazbaz resigned from his position. He stated, quote, "An attorney general needs confidence to act effectively, and that he had lost the confidence due to questioning of his actions in the investigation of the death of Paulette Gabara Fera." So, there's also speculation that perhaps because he was so insistent that it was Lizette, maybe that's why. Like you said, maybe the, anybody can be bought and stuff like that. Well, I mean, it's possible that it was political.
Absolutely. It's all about politics, even though politics don't mean a fucking thing over there, because everybody just gets bought out. Like, it's just crazy. But I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, in May of 2017, Paulette's body was exhumed and cremated. The prosecutor's office stated they weren't going to consider it evidence any longer, so there can never be any more further investigation into her physical body. And that's it. And that's the case. And
Poor
that's,
baby.
I know, I feel terrible. Regardless of what happened, I feel awful for her. Please take a look at those pictures. And if you think that this was an accident, I want to hear from you. I want to know why. I am very open to changing my mind. This season, it's going to sound like I'm giving you a narrative. Like I'm telling you, this is what I believe. Because I do. And that's the whole point of this season is, we're being like, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean that we can't be swayed. It doesn't mean that during the middle of a story, we're not going to change our mind. It doesn't mean anything. What it does mean
Right.
is that this is just highly suspicious. And, I understand that that means that I'm coming at this with a narrative, but I'm not leaving information out. I just want to put it like that. I'm not telling you something to make you go with my side because I want people to disagree with me because I want to know how other people can view this as an accident because that's ultimately what it was ruled. So please feel free to disagree with me. I'm giving you all of the information from all the sides so that you can make your own decision about it. But you know where I stand.
I just want to know why at the end of the day. But yeah, like you, like I feel like I am open, like you said too, like I'm open to seeing all sides. I don't know, like I said, it was either for political things or maybe it was an accident and they just freaked out. But like the fact that they're gonna, like the fact that she was in the bed and they potentially knew about it. My question also is, why would you put her there if you knew it was going to smell eventually?
I don't know. What do you do when you kill somebody?
I don't know. I just talk about it. I don't know what to actually do with it. I don't want to do that. But like, and then your child. That's the thing. Like, it's your kid. It's not somebody else's kid. It's not a friend. It's not like it's your flesh and blood. Like, I would go and scream it from every rooftop that I could if something happened to my baby. Like, I just couldn't. I don't understand the logic.
I don't understand either. And I want to believe, you know, that the family wasn't involved. But just, there's so many damning things between the fact that it was likely that she would have been seen if she had been there the entire time. But also, just those fucking pajamas.
Right.
That alone is enough to sway me. And that alone, that suspicion doesn't improve with time. That's the problem. I can go on about this all night.
I know, right?
But take a look at those pictures on Instagram, please, because I would love for you to, you know, visualize how this bed actually looks. Because I think that that also changes things. Because if you're thinking of this, like, giant bed where there's, like, where the footboard is, like, you know, 4 feet tall and stuff like that. Like, it's not. It's, like, a foot and a half.
Right. Like, it's not, like, a sleigh bed or anything. Like, it's literally just a regular fucking bed. Like, that has a fucking thing at the end of it. Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, my mom and dad used to have one, a bed set that, like, the end, like, it had, like, that extra, like, that footing at the end of the bed. But, like, I just can't imagine a freaking 4-year-old just falling in there and never, like, no, nah, I just, no.
And nobody That's... noticing. It just seems weird, because, like,
right.
It, for 9 days, I just don't buy it. Anyways, check out those pictures on our Instagram at
Crash House and Crime. Sorry, I forgot. Like, why aren't you saying it?
You can follow us on Facebook to get updates about the newest episodes at
Crash House and Crime.
Follow us on Twitter at
Crafts and Crime.
And follow us on Patreon for 3 bonus episodes a month at
Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
And send us stories and opinions and all the things by email at
craftsdraftsandcrime@gmail.com.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Yes. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.